The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We'll be looking ahead to Monday's racing on this edition, and you can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Barber and Mark Slater in the studio. We have Chepstow and Leicester domestically in the afternoon. There's also a good card over in Ireland on Monday afternoon from Nace. In the evening, it's Carlisle and Windsor featuring the listed leisure stakes. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good. Thanks, Mark.
Good. Right, before we move on to Monday's action, a good day to look forward to. Mick's going to take us through his thoughts at Windsor, a good card there to look ahead to. We're going to look back at Saturday's action, because plenty going on Saturday. It was a busy day. And we'll start with the action at Haydock, Mick. The Group 3 Pinnacle Stakes going the way of Sultanina, John Gosden's filly. Only had the two starts now, and she's won both of them, and including a Group 3 success just 16 days after a maiden win. It's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been patient with her, haven't they? She's been plagued with sore shins all of her life, and they've given her plenty of time to outgrow them, if you like, and she showed a wonderful attitude to deny her stable companion, who looked home and hosed, didn't she? Freedom of light, and it was the new approach filly, Sultanina, a daughter of the mighty Galileo, who beat the Galileo filly, Freedom's Light, to complete a 1-2 for John Gosden. Tremendous race, and the sky could be the limit for her.
It could, yes, she looked very impressive. The 240, the John of Gaunt Stakes, the bigger race on the card. Penitent Mick, I imagine you were watching it through
gritted teeth.
He showed he's still got some life in him, the old boy.
I backed him and napped him in Ireland last time. I think he just went off too hard, didn't he? Paid the price for that. Bit more of a circumspect ride from Danny Tudup. What a good day here. David O'Mara, good day all round, didn't he? Yeah. Winners at three different tracks. And double at Haydock, a winner at York, and it's all systems go for that outfit. But great to see Penitent. He was a ridiculous price on his best, wasn't he?
Yeah.
33-1. But there you go. Missed the boat there.
Yeah, another big win for Kieran Fallon as well. He won the Achilles Stakes on board Steps, who had the blinkers back on and seemed to do the trick.
Yeah, just getting the better of his old rival, Eaton Rifles, by a neck. Canny Rider thought that from Fallon, who was just sort of, when he's on his A game, like he seems to be at the moment, he just knows where the winning post is, doesn't he? Brilliant piece of riding to pop Steps his head in front where he mattered.
Yeah, and another impressive winner on the day was in another of the listed races. That was the Sandy Lane Stakes, and Ailis for Richard Hughes with an impressive eye-catching performance.
Well, that free handicap form's looking extra solid, isn't it? And it's run up the Irish 2000 Guineas runner-up, and Mushir was second. And it looks very solid for him, the free handicap. Often is. Hasn't been quite the race it has been the last few years, but I'm pleased to see it standing up this year.
Yeah. Okay, on to York then, Mick. You were at York.
I was, yeah.
While you're talking about the free handicap form, I suppose we must mention Blurred Vision in the maiden.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe he was only 4-5.
Yeah.
And must have been tempted with his... He had a rating of 84 going into that. Must have been tempted to wait for a handicap. Anyway, he found a nice maiden for him. It's got the job done. And but his form with Mushir and Shifting Power and all the rest of him, it just was too good to ignore. How he only went off at 4-5, I don't know. And he did the job very well indeed. Might be back at York for the what used to be the William Hill Sprint, you know, the race I mean.
Yeah,
he'll probably be rated 90 now, should get in no problem.
Good stuff. Clever Cookie and Ralston Road dead heated in the listed race. Clever Cookie back on the flat, sorry, he's turning into a bit of a revelation, isn't he?
3 out of 3 now. I thought they might have gone for another handicap with his rating not being over punished for that impressive win at York at the May meeting, but they bit the bullet, blew the handicap mark, and they've dead heated in listed company. I just don't know where you'd go with him next, but he's some performer, all right.
Yeah. And Dutch Rose continues her love affair with the Nathan Meyer.
Oh, that's 4 from 4. 4 visits, 4 wins from Dutch Rose. And how she was allowed to go off at 9-1 with her record at the track for David O'Mara, the leading trainer at the track last year. is anybody's guess. They were all over the other one, weren't they? Best of order was a little bit... I don't know if you noticed the other race, Mark, but it was race with his tongue flopping out of the right side of his mouth the whole of the trip. Maybe a tongue tie might help. It doesn't help them when they're doing that.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help their breathing.
No, yeah, exactly. Serious Prospect as well. He ran a big race. He likes it at York.
And they left, interesting, at the hood on all last year except for the final run. I think it was the final run. And then the last time he didn't have it on. But it seems as though it's coaxing back to his best without the hood. He ran a fine race and looked like winning until Dutch Rose came and pounced on him.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you on the day, Mick?
I thought tremendous performance by Top Boy, who's not an easy horse to win with.
No.
I mean, he didn't look the winner, did he? I mean, I kept looking back at the race and saying, how was that one? You know, I mean, even with 100 yards to run, he's still only about fifth. And it would have been an unlucky loser. I thought Secret Witness was going to win it. I thought Secret Witness was short at the May meeting. He was near his turn again, and I thought he'd nicked it for one moment. But how Top Boy managed to win from where he came from, I just have no idea. That was impressive. Wadi Al Hatawi, who won the mile and a half handicap. I think we'll probably see him at Royal Ascot in the Duke of Edinburgh or something like that. That was a good performance, and he put a good feel to the sword there.
Okay, so we'll leave that there then, and we'll move on to Monday's action next. Mick's going to look at some of the racing at Windsor, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, then, on to Windsor. Then we're going to look at the 7 o'clock, the 7.30 and the 8 o'clock. The 7.30 is a good race. It's a listed race, which looks pretty exciting at the moment, but we'll start in the 7 o'clock. And this is a Class 5 handicap over the extended mile. Nine of them in the lineup here, Mick. Which ones do you like?
I'll start with the top one, Red Valeur, who makes the handicap debut here off 72, this daughter of Pivotal. She's not exactly progressing, but a repeat of her debut run at Newmarket in April would make her very interesting off of this mark of 72. And, you know, she's definitely got ability. I don't think the handicap has overburdened her off 72, but her sort of slightly sideways profile is a little bit off-putting, but I don't think it's a race that might not take much winning. We've got quite a few exposed types and one or two handicapped debutants like her. The other handicapped debutant who might be worthy of notice, Light of Asia. Signs are that the Ed Dunlop team are just creeping back into form, and this son of Oratorio comes here for a mark of 67 for his handicap debut. Slight improvement each start without looking like a superstar, but it does look a fair opening mark. And the maiden that he finished fourth in, the winner of that Wolverhampton maiden, has been placed in his next two handicaps of 71, suggesting that Light of Asia's mark of 67 isn't overburdening him. But I do think this is the chance for Jersey Brown, the daughter of Marge, who has been runner-up both starts here this time and doesn't seem to mind the softish ground, which she's going to get again on Monday. That was not a bad run behind Space Walker last week. And I think just keep it simple. She runs off the same mark. Let's hope that Jersey Brown can make it third time lucky this season.
OK, Jersey Brown then in the 7 o'clock. On to the 7.30, which is the Leisure Stakes, a listed race over six furlongs. 15 of them in the lineup here. You could easily state a case for a number of these, Mick. It's a good listed race. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, we've got Boomerang Bob bidding to make it back to backs, but sadly we heard today that his trainer's died, and he has been ill for a long time, poor John. But yeah, so whether he'll turn up or not, we don't know. But he's going to have to improve on his reappearance. Saw him make his reappearance at York in a Group 2 at the May meeting, and he didn't show much enthusiasm, I didn't think. Harlan Colliery, it was very disappointing, I thought, on his reappearance. Napped him that day. Ran a bit flat, last of four. But, and you look back at his profile, he did take his time to warm up last year. I don't think he won until his third start last year. So the chances are that he just needed the run first time up. He had a the time of his life last year, didn't he? Won four times at up to seven furlongs, including the Air Gold Cup in September, and some other good runs as well. He's got winning form here at Windsor, and with that behind him, that run behind him, he's a danger to them all. Monty Ridge probably sets the form standard. Excellent reappearance second to Tullius at Sandown in a Group 2, but then just too bad to be true in the lock-ins. Didn't turn up, did he? I don't know what was wrong that day, but I think we'll forgive him that. He's back in listed company. I think he set a very fair standard. He won two listed events in the Goodwood Group 3 over a mile last year. Interesting dropping him back to sprinting. Trip he's never won over, but well worth a try the way he travels, I think. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I've gone through quite a few of these, actually. Morash Music, Peter Makin, trainer Jimmy Fortune, takes the ride. Good to see Jimmy back in the saddle after his saddle loss. And he's got course and distance winning form. Looked very unlucky not to win on his reappearance at Lingfield. Finished full of running that day, and after just everywhere he went, he got stopped. His group placed, he's going to be a big price, Mirage Music. I'd certainly be having a look at him on the pro market to hit the frame at the biggest price. Music Master, Dane O'Neill rides for Henry Candy. He was very impressive on his seasonal reappearance. It was only a little conditions race at Warwick, but that'll have done his confidence good. We know he can hack it in Pattern Company because he finished second in an Ascot Group 3 on his final start of 2013. Won his maiden to Newmarket and then went on to hold his own in really good company. Still relatively unexposed after only eight starts. Just the sort of horse his trainer excels with, and I think there's a lot more to come from Music Master. But the interesting one for me is the bottom one, Justice Day. The only three-year-old in the lineup, a son of acclamation, trained by David Ellsworth, who's booked Oisin Murphy in the saddle. They don't seem to care that this boy can't claim his £3 in listed company. They just get him snapped up, don't they? Had a great time of it at two, won three races, finished third in the Middle Park at Newmarket. Didn't cut much ice on his return run at the York May meeting, but that was a lot better run the other day in the Temple Stakes, finishing fourth. In fact, he's run some of his best races in defeat, this horse, including a short head second to the dual thousand guineas runner-up, Lightning Thunder, last term. And he's also mixed it with the likes of a Stare and Hot Streak. And I think he can make his weight for age allowance of £8 count in this field for his banging form stable. Who amongst the winners again on Saturday, weren't they?
Yes, and like I say, inform Oisin Murphy on board as well.
Absolutely.
That effort behind Hot Streak was a belter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
See where you're coming from there, mate.
It's rock solid sprinting form, isn't it?
Yeah. On to the 8 o'clock next, then. This is the final race we're going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. And shall we start here with Huntsman's Close, who was a fairly impressive winner on reappearance over this course and distance?
It was. Now, he's not a horse I took to last year. He never managed to win. He looked to have a few chances. And he didn't seem to progress either. Always running in the same race of whatever mark he ran off. Never seemed to make any difference to him. But, having said all that, he was fitted with the hood for his reappearance. And it certainly seemed to galvanise him. And although the £5 higher mark that he's got to contend with does mean a career best will be required. The hood will have to work again. But I suppose the improvement he found in it, there's every chance that he does. But he's just not a horse that appeals to me, that's all. I mean, I can't sort of knock him for what he's done, but he's just not one of those. I think he let me down once or twice too many last year, and I've got a bit of a cloud hanging over him, me, but there you are.
So you're taking him on then, Mick?
I'll take him on. Let's have a look at the other one on the shortlist. Cruise to the Limit. You can see why they're going again quickly. Back to form last time, 3 days ago, and second behind Go-Go Green at Haydock. Now, the handicapper had dropped him in the interim from that first two disappointing runs back this season, so he can actually race off a lower mark here. And I think that's why they're going back. He's after those first two runs, his mark dropped back into the 70s. So he's off 78 here. So he's lower than when he was second the other day. I think that's why they're going again so quickly. And
the fact that they've got Joey Haynes claiming five.
Joey Haynes taking the further five. So he's in the mix, and he's back in the 70s. I think he's got to be taken seriously. But I'm going to take a chance on it. It might be a bit of a long shot because his strike rate is... He's still only got that one maiden win to his name, and that's Waffle.
Yeah, Ultimate Cliff Horse.
Oh, tell me about it. And but he has got some really good form in the book. You know, walking them, Stewards Cup, turns up for races like that, runs blinders in them.
Yeah.
And reappearance run at Thirsk, he's been placed in the 100s, this horse, and he's now back in the 90s. He can race here off 95.
Mm.
And that wasn't a bad effort at Thirsk, considering it was his first start after 588 days off. And I know David Barron's got two runners here, and that Gibbons is on the other one, Colonel Mack. But this could be an owner-driven jockey booking.
Yeah.
Hughesy on Waffle. So I'm not going to read anything into that. And I'm going to take a chance on Waffle now that the handicapper's given him a break.
Okay. Waffle then in at the 8 o'clock. Let's just have a quick summary then, Mick, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Okay, in the 7 o'clock, hoping Jersey Brown can make it third time lucky after two course runner-up berths. In the really good renewal of the listed contest at 7:30, I'm going to go for the three-year-old Justice Day to make the most use of his £8 weight for age allowance against his elders. And in the 8 o'clock, the 6 furlongs handicap, I'm going to take Waffle to double his strike rate and make it 2 from 30.
Okay, it doesn't sound too inspiring, does it?
Not, that, no, when you say it like that, it doesn't.
No, but he has run some blinders, like you say.
Absolutely, yeah. In better races than this.
Yeah. Nice one. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck with that and enjoy it on Monday.
I will do, man.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Sean Quinn, John Bob and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Chepstow, Leicester and Nace in the afternoon, Carlisle and Windsor in the evening. Plenty of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.